This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 23rd of January 2022. Today is the new Amateurs Edition, where we congratulate those who have just entered the hobby with their first call sign, or those with a new call sign and a new level of license. We have a few items of interest for amateurs, new and old, and we remind you about using the AX prefix and the Australia Day contest, both of which are on Wednesday this week. We have Roy's helpline, and we talk about the disaster in Tonga and what amateur radio does to help. All this and more on News West, your amateur radio news service in VK6 since 1931.
To encourage new amateurs on air, we'd really like to share with you the names of the people who've gained and upgraded their license in the past month. In case you're wondering, there are 1,411 amateur licenses held in VK6 today, a net loss of 9 licenses from last month. All of the new calls are from the December Ham College Foundation course. Please welcome Oscar with a kilo, not a Charlie, Renee, John, Sam and Dean. For those new calls, congratulations on joining amateur radio. And hey, if you hear them calling, say good day. Offer congratulations and, of course, positive encouragement if they seem a bit diffident. Help them make some noise. So let's keep the numbers growing. Come on, encourage someone you know who's keen but reluctant to get their license.
Welcome to New Hams episode 52, The People We Meet. Did anyone ever tell you that radio amateurs are the nicest people in the world? Was that one of the reasons that you chose to join the hobby? I'm sure that it was an influencing factor in your decision to join our amateur radio community. Well, now that you've got your license and have started your amateur radio journey, do you believe it or not that hams are the nicest people in the world? You don't have to answer that question out loud. For the most part, it's true. There are many people in amateur radio who are nice, who are helpful, and would make it to your list of new or potential friends. So what am I on about? It's like this, amateur radio attracts a cross-section of our society, and in that respect, we attract the good and the bad, the friendly and the not-so-friendly, the introverts and the extroverts, the cautiously modest and the blatant know-it-alls. Amateur radio isn't immune from attracting people you may not like and who you may not choose to associate with. That's life. It happens everywhere, in your neighbourhood, at work and at play. Just as in ordinary life we are faced with meeting or becoming associated with people we may not like, the good news is that the vast majority of hams are people that you may like and with whom you may wish to be associated. Your best path into the hobby is by associating with these nice, helpful people, and a good way to come across them is to join an amateur radio club. You can find out which clubs may be right for you by visiting vk6.net. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Three times a year, we have permission to replace our VK callsign prefix with a celebratory AX prefix. Those times are January 26, which is Australia Day, 25th of April being Anzac Day, and the 17th of May, the World Telecommunication and Information Society Day. The first of those days is this coming Wednesday, and you'll be able to use the AX prefix in place of your VK prefix. Please note the recent ruling that the 2x1 contest call signs recently issued may not use the AX prefix. Also on Australia Day is the new Australia Day Amateur Radio Contest. It's based on the RD contest rules, so you can use the VK contest logger for this contest. This is a trial contest, and it's to encourage amateur radio promotional activity in Australia, New Zealand, and Papua New Guinea, and is designed to encourage friendly participation and help improve the operating skills of participants. The aim of the contest is for amateurs in VK, ZL, and P2 to contact other amateurs in VK, ZL, and P2. VK, ZL and P2 means any station operating within Australia, New Zealand or Papua New Guinea and their external territories. Points are only awarded for valid contacts between these VKZL and P2 stations. An unusual aspect of this contest is that it's only a 12-hour contest, because it would be difficult to run it for 24 hours when people have to attend work on either side of it. To make this work, the contest runs from 2200 UTC on the 25th of January to 1000 UTC on the 26th of January. This gives all VKE call areas a full 12 hours of AX prefix use in the contest at the same time. For us here in WA, it's a 6 a.m. start and a 6 p.m. finish, so quite civilised hours really, except we won't get much joy from interstate on 80 metres. So, there it is. Give it a go, or just stick your nose in to see how it works. The rules are on the WIA website, and the VK contest logger can be downloaded for free. Just put in VKCL into your search engine. 73s.
We all heard about and saw the volcano eruption and subsequent tsunami in Tonga. That's news, all right, but why is it amateur radio news? The disaster in Tonga is amateur radio news because there isn't amateur radio news, and I'll tell you why that sentence makes sense. Amateur radio has, in the past, seen a role for itself in providing communications in times of emergency, and in the past has provided a communications service at those times. The International Amateur Radio Union, the IARU, set up a structure and coordinators in each of its three regions. The plan is to activate amateurs globally to listen out on a set of nominated frequencies across our bands, to listen for calls out of the affected area, and to relay messages where needed. After the disaster struck in Tonga, there was no activation of the plan for Region 3. Amateurs were asking on social media if there had been an announcement. I looked at the IARU Region 3 website, and it had no mention of an emergency communications plan. I'm sure it used to be there, but it's not now. Similarly, I looked at the Wireless Institute of Australia's website to see who to contact, because I know there was a person holding the portfolio for emergency communications. That portfolio is no longer mentioned on the long list of committees and portfolio holders. Perhaps I missed the memo that the Wireless Institute doesn't involve itself in emergency communications, but that's not clear because in this week's WIA news broadcast, the Secretary of the WIA said that they do, but there's no announcement and no person in charge. My next step was to send an email to the Secretary of the IARU Region 3 under my title as Vice President of RASA, asking if the plan had been activated. He wrote to his emergency coordinator, passing on the question. It had not been activated. No reason was given, and we were advised that we could listen to the emergency frequencies if we wanted to. I noticed in the reply that the New Zealand Emergency Communications Coordinator had asked the same question. Normally, if the plan has been activated, representative organisations of the IARU advise their members. The lack of any such notification caused people to start asking the questions. Further inquiry showed that there are very few amateurs on Tonga, and most of those are expats. In addition to access to communication satellites, Tonga has a VHF commercial band linked repeater network and also an extensive HF network operating on commercial channels ranging from 3 through to 8 megahertz. Now, I won't discuss the future of amateur radio emergency comms operations or teams apart from saying that amateur radio globally needs to rethink what our role could be in times of emergency. Are we really effective at what we think we would do? Or are we playing cowboys and Indians? The days are gone when we are the experts waiting for the rest of the world to collapse because we hold the secret to being indestructible when disaster strikes. I'm not saying there's no role. However, any role we do take on must be useful, real, and relevant to the needs of modern society. Meanwhile, amateur radio societies, clubs, and individuals need to review what they claim in terms of emergency response and inform the amateur radio public of their current status. I'm Bob VK6POP.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
Now here's some good news from Neil VK6 NSB. Neil's the bloke who puts the news broadcast to air on 80 metres at 7 a.m. on Sundays. I'm sure he does other stuff too. Neil said that Baz VK2 Whiskey Bravo, who you may remember as Barry VK6 Whiskey Fox, who moved to New South Wales from Western Australia several years ago, lost everything in the disastrous bushfires of 2019. Neil said this week that Baz is now the proud owner of a Kenwood TS520S to replace the one that he lost in the fires. The Kenwood was obtained by Neil, who said that he went through it and it's in pristine condition, putting out 110 watts on 80 metres into a dummy load. The mic is the best MC10 I had spare. Neil has donated the radio to Baz and it arrived in Nambucca early in the week, so he went straight in and picked it up. Neil said that Baz had forgotten how heavy the radio was and picking it up nearly killed him and he had to have a nap when he got home. Within 4 hours of getting it, he unpacked it and had it on air. Neil also gave him some spare tubes, a relay and a high volts capacitor kit. And to say that he's beside himself is an understatement, Neil said. Well, thanks, Neil, for your generosity in looking after Barry and helping him to get back on air. I know you've been working on this project for some time. You're a credit to the spirit of amateur radio.
Pop out your calendar and create a reminder. In just another week, the NCRG kicks off an Australia-wide raffle, and we've got some great prizes lined up. First prize is a Yaesu FTDX10 Compact HF SDR, valued at over $2,000. Second prize is a Yaesu FT3DR handheld, valued at over $500. And third prize is a Yaesu FTM 7250DR mobile, valued at nearly $400. Online sales will start on the 29th of January and finish on the 29th of March. Tickets will be $5 and transacted online via raffle link or cash sales at the NCRG club rooms. Keep listening to News West, your favourite social media, or go to the NCRG website for more information. This is Glyn, VK6PAW, for the Northern Corridor Radio Group in Perth.
So, what will your new licence do? It's been some time since we discussed this topic on News West, and today, being aimed at newcomers to the hobby, it's a good time to resurrect the subject. Because, you see, amateur radio operators are really no different to any other collection of people interested in similar stuff. Where there are rules governing what may or may not be done, the rules get interpreted differently. Some of these interpretations are turned into myths, which must be true because everyone's saying it. One of the big myths about your amateur radio license is that it qualifies you to construct or repair electronic equipment, especially amateur radio transceivers, but it doesn't. There's only one thing that your amateur radio license qualifies you to do, and that's to operate a transmitter within the conditions described for your class of license. These conditions are set by the Australian Communications and Media Authority, the ACMA, and are outlined in their document called the License Conditions Determination, commonly referred to as the LCD. Basically, the LCD is the ACMA's regulations for amateur radio. It's available for download from the ACMA website. What I've just said might ruffle the feathers of those who have thought otherwise, but these are the facts. But think back to amateurs who were around before the 1960s. Most of them constructed their own equipment because off-the-shelf gear was both expensive and in short supply. So the curriculum for an amateur radio license was designed to give prospective amateurs a degree of knowledge to prepare them for making and setting up their equipment. Even then, the information wasn't complete. There was a very steep learning curve for those building their own equipment. So the idea that the amateur radio license was a qualification to construct radio equipment is a natural misunderstanding. You don't need any special qualification to repair or construct amateur radio equipment, but you do need a bit of knowledge in order to prolong both the lives of your radio and yourself. Consider the unfortunate Ross Hull, a contest in whose name is running right now, who terminated his own life with 6,000 volts from an experimental TV transceiver in 1938. This is News West from VK6ARN, produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
One pathway for newcomers to the hobby, or for someone previously in the hobby, especially from overseas, is to undergo the Recognition of Prior Learning Process, or RPL. This process is described on the Australian Maritime College's website. The section on RPL says in part, under certain circumstances, exemptions may be granted from one or more subjects in an amateur operator examination if a person holds equivalent or higher qualifications covering the appropriate portion of the relevant amateur syllabus. Historically, RPL was a pathway for individuals with suitable qualifications, such as a university or trade qualification, or foreign nationals immigrating to Australia to obtain a credit for the Australian Theory Exam. The Radio Amateur Society of Australia, or RASA, recently said on a website news item, "A little over 2 years ago, a small group of Australian hams started using and actively promoting the RPL system as a pathway to an Australian call sign without sitting Australian exams. It is a controversial process, and many believed it undermined the integrity of the Australian examination system. This loophole allowed Australian citizens to use a foreign licensing system, the USA VE system, to obtain an Australian call sign. Whilst the legalities of the matter are complex, the ethics are questionable. We note that in recent months, AMC and the ACMA have made changes to the RPL process. RPL fees are now $198 Australian, and RPL candidates may be required to complete an oral interview prior to approval of their foreign qualification. We assume this change is to validate the candidate's underlying knowledge of the Australian syllabus." Let's quote from the AMC website. Interview. "Before arriving at a final decision, the appointed assessor may require the applicant to undergo an oral interview on all aspects of amateur radio theory, regulations, and practical as part of the process of arriving at a formal determination." RASA said that they believe this is a positive change in policy to protect the integrity of the Australian licensing system. As part of the RPL process, the candidates must also sit and pay for an Australian regulations exam if they have not already completed the examination. In conclusion, RASA says that prospective Australian amateurs should use an Australian examination system. The Australian system is cheaper and much more streamlined than the convoluted and questionable VE arrangements.
If you've just recently got your amateur radio license, do you find getting your head around some of the words and terms a bit hard? Let's look at a couple of things that you'll find useful, especially if you're going to build your own antennae. One of the mysteries you'll encounter earlier in your antenna-making career is the word ballon. Ballon isn't a real word. It's what's called a portmanteau word, a word made up of bits of other words or sounds. Ballon is pronounced ballon, not balon, because it's made from two words, balanced and unbalanced. Yes, it breaks the rules of English pronunciation, but that's what you get with portmanteaus. Why is it called a balanced unbalanced? That's where we get to the guts of the discussion. A ballon is a thing that converts a balanced feed line to an unbalanced feed line. A balanced feed line is made of two parallel wires, sometimes called open wire feed line, ladder line, twin feed, etc. A feed line of this type has some useful advantages. It can cover a long distance with little or no losses. The downside is that an open wire feed line doesn't like being near anything, especially anything metallic. That's because the currents flowing in the two wires are equal and opposite, and any interruption to this status affects the efficiency and ability to ignore noise. And it's difficult, nigh on impossible, to turn corners and pass through walls. So here comes the cavalry, coaxial cable, cheap and flexible, and it can be threaded through holes, around corners, run over the shed roof, and so on, without being degraded by what's near it. The downside with coax is that the losses increase as the length of the coax and the frequency increase. Mostly at HF frequencies, coax losses are tolerable. Now, there's a problem. Coax is an unbalanced feed line, and the open wire jobby is a balanced feed line, so we need to adapt one to the other, hence the ballon. What is a ballon? A ballon is an electrical device that converts between a balanced signal and an unbalanced signal or feed line. A ballon can take many forms and may include devices that also transform impedances, but need not do so. Ballons consist of wire wound in a particular way to convert an unbalanced feed to a balanced feed, or vice versa. A ballon may also be used to transform the impedance. Open wire feed lines can be made to have any impedance you choose. However, more conveniently, they are made to set impedances such as 300 ohms or 450 ohms. I said convenient because they work with transformation ratios of 4 to 1 and 9 to 1 to give a 50 ohm match to your coax. And ballons that transform to those ratios are quite simple in design and easy to make. And now, Gure, what about an anan? If you understand ballon, you should know that anan means unbalanced to balanced. An anan is mostly used as an impedance transformer, and one of the most common applications is a single wire antenna, such as an N-fed half-wave, which enables the single wire to be connected to a coax, then to the radio. In the case of the N-fed half-wave antenna, the anan has a transformation ratio of 49 to 1. Good luck with making your own ballons and anons. There's plenty of information online about how to make these and lots of ways they can be used. That's your job, giving it a go and finding out how things work.
Alan VK3DXE posted a report on Facebook during the week about more propagation across the Bight from Victoria to the south coast of Western Australia on 2 metres. Alan said, a nice VK6 opening starting around 0500 Zulu on Wednesday. It's now 1600 Zulu and things are still idling along. Nothing terribly strong, but enough to make a few JT mode contacts out to around 2500 kilometres. I dropped in home around 0600 Zulu to drop off a couple of items and discovered that the 2 metre whisper had been doing its job yet again across the Bight to the south coast of VK6 for a short while, an hour earlier. At first I figured it was possibly sporadic E, as it was quite concentrated geographically and temporally, but I wound the wick up a little and soon had Nigel VK6 Charlie Popper uniform, portable, hearing me again. This started a flurry of activity with a whole lot of Melbourne area stations TXing madly, all trying to make the journey to VK6. I got only the 1D code from VK6 CPU due partly to the sheer number of VK3 stations calling and a bit of local noise. A number of people, including myself, QSY'd to 144.320 and completed FT8 QSOs. Thanks, Alan, for the report. We've heard a few of those stories this year. Some amazing results on 2 metres, making those huge distances. Have you had a try? Have a go. No doubt there are those who want to believe that News West is anti-WIA, in spite of what we say, and will construe our stories and commentary to fit that belief. Well, if that's what you want, indulge yourself and believe what you like. Our story about Tonga is not aimed at the Wireless Institute of Australia, although that august body is mentioned, as they are players in the wider story. For amateur radio to move on and generate any level of credibility within the community, we need to be seen to be relevant and practical. Our place in the community in the first half of the 20th century is a world away from where we could be right now. Prior to World War II, amateur radio was visible and very present in the community. We were still wizards of some sort. We had regular columns in the newspapers. In the 1920s, amateur radio operators began the broadcasting of entertainment, and some of the same people became involved in the new commercial broadcasting stations. That's an interesting topic, and we'll be running a special episode on that in the coming weeks. But back to what I was talking about. If amateur radio is going to play any role in the wider community, be it at a local, regional, or global level, that role should be in response to the needs of the community at the time. This is the role of our representative bodies, to marry the needs and interests of the community with what we could offer given a need of some sort. And we need to adapt and modify what we do and what we are in order to respond to a community's needs.
Anything goes. That's right. Next week's News West has no fixed theme, so we're free to do what we like, within reason, of course. Likewise, you're also free to do what you like, within reason, of course. Because we're not tied to any theme, we're free to put together a program of almost anything. Just as long as it fits our editorial policy, it must be about, or relative to amateur radio, and of interest to West Australian amateurs. So, that's almost a clean slate. Let's have your ideas. Maybe something that you've done that you'd like to share, or maybe an idea about something that could be done. It doesn't matter, as long as it meets our editorial guidelines and isn't immoral, illegal, or fattening. So, if you've got an idea, an opinion or a story, but not sure how to go about turning it into a story to go on the news, help is at hand. Just email us. Briefly describe your idea and tell us if you need any help putting it together, and someone will be glad to assist and advise you. News West is, after all, your news service, not ours, so please use it the way it's intended. Send your inquiries or contributions to newswest@vk6.net.
Good morning, this is Roy, VK6 X-Ray Victor, with this week's lack of helpline for the, what's the date today? Looks like about the 23rd of January 2022. And now that we're sorted out February the 5th and still trying to get over all the ramifications of that, I still have nothing for you for this week, no new items this week. So if you'd like to pick yourself up and dust yourself down and get me some items for next week, I'll broadcast them to you. But in the meantime, thank you once again for listening. This is Roy VK6 X-Ray Victor. That's all I have for you today. The email address, if you wish to contact me, victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. I'll say again, victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. That takes me up to a minute. Cheers, good morning, and 7-3.
Thanks for listening. Thanks to the team, Roy, VK6XV, Jeff, VK6JEF. Mike's taken a week off, so Andrew, VK6AS, was promoted to the role of newsreader, but he still had to sweep the cutting room floor afterwards. Thanks to the broadcast team and the callback takers, you've all earned your wages for sure. Remember that next week our theme is open slather, so you've got license to talk about anything, well, almost anything. Send your contributions as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net. I'm Bob, VK6POP, the NewsWest producer, reminding you to stick around for the callbacks and then to get on air and make some noise.